other natural disaster may come about. And then we have our amazing facilities team as well that that will take care of anything and kind of locks things down, keeps an eye on it as well. So we've got text messaging, we've got emails, we got the whole nine yards as well. So yeah, we take this pretty serious. You know, the safety of all the folks on campus, pretty important to us. And that's, you know, one of our number one jobs. So.
How many buildings do you have out there now?
We have three buildings.
So when you turn in, you've got the campus building.
The campus, straight
then
up.
You have the, is that the Lee Marchant School mm-hmm. of Nursing?
Yep. On the left.
And yep. then what's the next one?
So about a quarter mile as a crow flies, but not connected. One street over is the Indiana Center for Life Sciences building. And that's the ICLS. And that houses our entrepreneurship program and our biotech programs and will house our semiconductor microelectronics program. So and that's where the Cook Center for Entrepreneurship is. So
I blame Steve Bryant. Yes, there we go.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot of great work going on there. That was a collaboration with the county to get that building built. And so really thankful for that. And it's a great space that we have over there.
Now that we've turned the calendar to August and today being the first day of it, we were joking when you walked in the building because tonight we have the NFL Hall of Fame game. Yes, professional football will be on our airwaves from 8 o'clock tonight. The Chicago Bears and Houston Texans will be the matchup. A busy weekend for the Colts as well because Dwight Freeney is going into the Hall of Fame. Jim Irsay will be in Canton, Ohio, where the game is played tonight. For the weekend ceremony, they used to do this game on Sunday nights. They've moved it to Thursday. It's more of the kickoff to the weekend in Canton. And I think that's the other thing because our first NFL game regular season will also be on a Thursday night. So they want to get you into that habit already. So we've got football going on and the first day of school for Ivy Tech. Well, next Wednesday is the first day for MCCSC right. and RBB. What day of the week do you guys start on? It's the 19th, correct?
Monday the 19th.
There you go. So I know from our great friend Jenny Vaughn, that date got moved around a couple times. We were on some Wednesdays, on some Tuesdays, yeah. But it's that's how it should be. Because Monday is when the week starts.
Right.
Let's go. Yeah. It's good for the kids to go on a Wednesday because it's an easing in process. But the adult students right. and everybody else that has things to do, places
get
to go.
Get it done.
Well, how many jobs do we have where you don't go to work on Monday? Let's go. We got to get in there and get after it. So now that we've turned the calendar to the eighth month and it's the first day of August, where do you shift your gears into now? Summertime is busy. But August, we know, is much busier.
Yeah, this like run up, you know, the next 2 weeks. I was meeting with our advisors yesterday, and I said, "Hey, how are things going? You guys busy today?" And they were like, "Oh my gosh, we are slammed." So folks are coming in, getting registered for the fall, and that's absolutely what we love to see. So you know, come on in, we're ready for you. You know, go online, you can make an appointment. Or tech, you know, email us bl-info@ivytech.edu. We'll get you squared away or give us a call 812-330-6013. And our team is standing by to take care of you.
Yeah, well, everybody likes to be busy. If you're going to go to work, we like the lull of summertime, whether we live here, work here, or New Year's Day doesn't start the new year in Bloomington. Sorry.
No.
That's not, if you've lived here more than a year, you know that now. This is kind of
New Year's-ish.
We start in August, and then we have all the benchmarks in May of how things are winding down a little bit, and then we swing back into cycle. But that's the exciting time, and your folks are busy. And I dress it up this way. We're not here to sell you anything. That's not why Eric's here today. We're here to give you information. But there are certain programs that at Ivy Tech, you can't wait until the last minute. You can't wait till the 18th and say, okay, I've made my decision. They'll find a spot for you. It just might not be what fits your work schedule. It might not be what fits your life schedule. That's why your folks are busy right now. If I don't know what I'm doing, I shouldn't worry because that's why you have these career coaches, academic coaches, you name it.
Yeah, we've got our career coaches are standing by to help basically anybody who needs some help and is trying to figure out whether they want a career transition or upskill. They're there to help you figure that out. They love helping folks. They've done resume support. They've done all sorts of things to help people, you know, move on in their careers. And then we have a ton of certificate programs that, you know, Next Level Jobs is huge. We've got a bunch of programs that are going to be new this fall to help, you know, building and property maintenance technician program, which I'm really excited about.
Where are you going to find a job with that in Bloomington?
I don't know. We don't have any apartments. If we only had an apartment
rental
building.
Yeah. But I think that's the greater point. You can walk in and not have a clue.
Right.
On what you want to do. I don't know what I want to do. What do you enjoy? And then folks will walk you through there. Yeah. They'll show you, hey, if you do this, this can happen. If you take this route, this can happen, whether it's academic or in a professional sense. And if you already have a job, you talk about Next Level Jobs, getting certified where maybe you get a bump in pay or getting certified where you can expand your duties or whatever else. The cost of this, I don't want to say is ridiculous, because people will take that the wrong way. But the cost of this is absolutely ridiculous, and depending on your program, how much comes out of your pocket sometimes?
I mean, for Next Level Jobs, it's nothing.
Zero.
Zero. F-R-E-E, free.
Next Thank level you, jobs. The state. Thank
state
you.
Of Indiana covers that. So it's really, you know, that's designed to get folks that certificate to really give them a skill that they will pretty quickly jump into a well-paying job. And it's a great program. We have just so many, you know, this summer we've got, we just added the semiconductor fabrication certificate. Like I said, the building and property maintenance certificate. We've got firefighter, early childhood. We've got all sorts of things going on. So
how do you
really
get to
cool.
develop these new programs? Do you go out in the community as chancellor and knock on people's door and say, hey, how can we help?
That's part of it.
I don't think you have to. For example, if you're going to start a welding program or a building property management, who do you have to run that by? Is that just by the State Board of Ivy Tech? Are they flexible? I wouldn't even know how that process begins.
Yeah, we take a look at what the community needs, right? So fundamentally, we want to be the community college that our community wants and needs. And so we look at programs, we look at all of our programs all the time to make sure we're being responsive and that we're fitting the need. And sometimes, you know, there some programs are and some aren't, and other times there's opportunities there to start new programs. So the building and property maintenance is a perfect example of, you know, there are these certificates that exist. And we take a look at them and we go, hey, what if we brought that here? What would that look like? The approval process is pretty straightforward. I think it's me. I didn't ask anybody. We're just
great.
You know, we talk about it amongst ourselves and we go, hey, does this make sense? Can we give this a shot?
But having that flexibility helps our business owners and folks here who are looking for people to help. If I had a dollar every time on Facebook or wherever I saw, does anybody know somebody who can mount a TV, move this, do. Now, look, I'm not begrudging these people not being able to do it, but there's a need for these services.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that gets somebody into that field, and then they might want to start their own business where they go back and see Steve Bryant in the entrepreneurship world. That's the thing. You just want to take those flames and get people caught on fire.
Yeah, we've got entrepreneurship certificates. We've got, I mean, you name it. IT, we have 8 new certificates we're launching this fall in IT. So just really excited about kind of all the programs. And really that is in large part due to our faculty, our staff and faculty, who see the need, recognize the need, and are like, hey, let's take on a new program, you know, and then faculty adjust to it and they get it going and they launch it. And so, you know, it's a great, we have a lot of folks who are incredibly concerned about our students and they want our students to succeed. We want our students to have a well-rounded education that also equals a well-paying job. And so there's a lot of folks vested in that, and that's really our mission and our goal.
We've heard brain drain before, and the curriculum that you're putting together at Ivy Tech, you can take these skills and go anywhere, mm-hmm. but your job placement numbers are through the roof.
Yeah, we do a really, we have a...
Well, what keeps them here? If you educate them here, it's for the folks and businesses here.
93% of our grads are going to stay local. And so we're committed to that. And that's why we talk to our industry partners. You know, we have one program we're looking at launching, and I spend a lot of time talking to our industry partners in that particular program to say, hey, look, I don't want to do it if our students aren't going to get hired. And so they're like, nope, we've got openings. We've got, we'd love to have them. So, you know, there's always that discussion going on, always looking forward to how can we improve? Where are those opportunities for our students to, really, I mean, you just look, I was at a workforce development conference yesterday up in Indianapolis, and, you know, across the state, you know, the number of job openings needed and reskilling and just the things that even if you have a job, as AI and other you know, technological advances come on board, you're going to have to adapt and you're going to have to skill up a little bit to get comfortable with some of those systems. And so just, you know, in healthcare and automation and industry and manufacturing, everything nowadays is really a tech job. And so as we think through that, how do we at Ivy Tech then really become part of that solution? Does every class have a component of AI?
Oh, interesting.
Does every, you know, and these are the kind of things we're really thinking hard about, like how do we, you know, every student should walk away with, you know, a foundation and kind of understanding, you know, or should every student walk away? What should they walk away with, right? And so those are the conversations I'm engaged in right now. You know, should it be, you know, AI and critical thinking skills and reading and arithmetic, you know, kind of some of those basic things, but then the AI and a little more advanced on the AI and the critical thinking. How do we really get at that, and how can each class bring that to bear? What can we do in our programs? Do we, you know, how do we ensure our community and our employers are, you know, what are they using? What technologies are they using? And how do we bring that into our curriculum so that, you know, we can then leverage that so our students are successful.
I talked to Michael Waterford last week. It was great for the semiconductor and in the conduit with Crane thing. And the point of some of these new technologies is you don't have to be a master in semiconductors.
Right.
But if we build a brand new plant here, we're going to need HR, finance, cafeteria, maintenance, all the things above it. So you might hear, oh, it's technology, and that scares you, but it doesn't always mean you're going to be the guy running the robot. That's not how it always works.
No, but you know what? But you could be.
And you absolutely have all those options.
And we this summer, we ran our first semiconductor summer camp. I'm sure Michael talked about that last week. We had high school students come in, and they learned sort of the ins and outs of robotics, and then at the end had the Micro 500 and had their car race. That was fun. And we had an adult session that also happened earlier in the summer. Where we introduced them, 3-day course, where it was more of an intro to these topics. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's what I talked to our entrepreneurship program about too. I was like, hey, if a big factory shows up tomorrow,
what are they going to need?
They're going to need all sorts of things. They, you know, just because you don't make a semiconductor or you don't make a refrigerator, whatever it is, right? You can come in and figure out what that building needs. What does that manage? Where are their pain points? How can we help? And so those are, you know, there are things that come when we have industry moving into our community. It generates not just, you know, Simtra is doing a lot of great work. We've got, you know, Cook, obviously, and then the Catalent Novo Nordisk merger thing
for your
happening.
Friends down at Crane.
And absolutely, Crane, NSWC Crane, and all the work happening down at Westgate and all that. That's just not those industries. That hits everybody, right? The new workers have to go eat somewhere, right? We have a culinary program. And so, you know, we have a hospitality program. We have a culinary, but, you know, all these things and all these programs that we have that don't just feed that one industry, they feed the entire community. And so that's what, as we think about economic development, we think about these companies moving into town, it's not just about, you know, they're able to, that plant is going to have great jobs and hire a great, there, that brings in employment, right? That brings in all these ancillary businesses and gives all these other small businesses an opportunity. And of course we have the, you know, our Cook Center for Entrepreneurship houses the Indiana SBDC there, the Small Business Development Center. So we love to help our small businesses out as well. And our entrepreurship certificates,
all
our business program.
Isn't it?
It's all part of what, you know, when you have an interconnected community, I think these programs just start really making a lot of sense. And when you kind of take a 30,000 foot view and you look at, you know, you look at our programs and how they build, we call them stackable credentials, right? You start with this next level job. You start with that first certificate. There's a young lady who works over at Simtra. She came in and she leveraged next level jobs.
free.
To get her biotech degree. Then got a job over there, loved it, came back, got her biotech degree, got a scholarship free, and now is back there, interned there this summer, and is going to come back to finish and get her associate's degree and then go back. Like, I mean, she's barely paying anything, right, if at all.
And then let's not confuse work with academics as well, because it can intertwine. It can be academics, it can be work, and that's the flexibility that goes along with it. Chancellor Eric Coyne in the studio this afternoon when we come back after Diane Daly's news headlines and our Olympic update. We're watching the women's basketball in the background. Belgium giving the USA a little bit of something to think about here early, as the USA leads by 6 with 6 minutes to go in quarter number 2. This is pool play. They'll have one more game on the weekend before the quarterfinals go next week. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the other angles of Ivy Tech. We know doors open on August 19th, Monday. We will talk about life sciences, which has not gone anywhere. It hasn't. The very competitive nursing program will get you ready for 2025, because 2024 is already up and running. And we'll talk about some ASAPs and some other quick ways to do it, and some great high school programs for folks currently in high school. We got too much to do. We'll come back and do it all with Chancellor Eric Coyne from Ivy Tech. We'll do that after Diane Daly's news headlines. Time out quickly. Our great friend Brian Taylor from Milliken Realty will get things started off. We'll hear from Diane and back with the Chancellor next. 3:31. It's Glass in the Afternoon at WGCL. All right, welcome back. Glass in the Afternoon. The first day of August. Happy Thursday as we get month number 8 started. Our guest in the studio this afternoon is the Chancellor from Ivy Tech. It's my great friend Eric Coyne. He is in charge of the traffic and weather report today. Go ahead and stick your head out the window. Tell me what you got here. A little cloudy?
Looks really humid out there, but traffic's moving freely northbound on Walnut Street.
Now so. Sometimes on Walnut Street, especially when we start getting closer to orientation, sometimes it also moves southbound.
That's right.
And we have to be careful on all of that. Well, let's keep an eye on the sky this afternoon, shall we? Why? Well, when we got started with you today, the National Weather Service has Monroe County and the surrounding areas under a severe thunderstorm watch for the rest of the afternoon into the early evening. There's a brand new weather statement for our friends in Lawrence County that includes Bedford, Mitchell, and Olytic until 4 o'clock. Perhaps winds up to 50 miles an hour. Thankfully, there's no hail involved with this, but we could be seeing some strong thunderstorms brewing in this area. It's starting more towards Evansville and kind of rising like bread dough, for lack of a better analogy, right now. Can we miss it? Sure, absolutely. But sometimes Mother Nature, she doesn't have to make any, doesn't have to make reservations. The National Weather Service graphic that they posted at NWS Indianapolis on the X, formerly Twitter, looks, if you drew a line from Robinson, Illinois, which I know people are familiar with here, to Linton, to Bloomfield, it is south of that line and moving eastbound. Does that mean it can organize and start moving in a different area? Yeah, absolutely. So we will see what south of the I-70 corridor, which is always, how does the weather know it's I-70s right there? How does it know to stay north or south of that? That's incredible. That's incredible. But we keep an eye on it for you. We want you to be weather aware. I think that's important. We don't like crying wolf, wolf, wolf. But when we refresh the hourly forecast, here is the warning we get. A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect. Thunderstorms are possible around 4:30. What did we tell you half an hour ago? After 5 o'clock. That's already changed in 30 minutes. That's why I want you to be weather aware for the rest of the afternoon. Follow along at your favorite sites. Well, we'd love to have you at WGCLradio.com. You can go back and hear our interviews from earlier in the week as well with Marty Hawk, Jordan Davis, Dr. Jerry Sanders at Ivy Tech, Alexis Harmon from the MCCSE, among others, and all the Joe Smith reports as well. Tonight, when we're done, Well, next hour, let's see, what do we do next hour? We're going to have Michelle Moss from the City of Bloomington's Volunteer Network. We'll hear Diane's headlines. We'll get more Joe Smith reports. We'll get into the Reds and all that fun stuff. Osterman is here in the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour. We'll get you the early days of IU football camp and Kurt Cignetti's first time in charge of the Hoosiers and all the basketball news as well. David Hayes, your money at 6, and the NFL Hall of Fame game at 8 o'clock tonight. What's exhausting, isn't it?
There's a ton going on.
This is what you signed up for. You come in here for all this.
I did.
How much Olympics are you watching? Are you into it? Are you into the badminton, the handball, the archery, the equestrian?
I played handball in college, so I
you were unguardable.
I really enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. It's a great combo of like soccer, basketball, and football. And
it's water polo on the earth.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun.
That's huge in Europe.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge. They have pro leagues, don't they?
Yeah.
Where
they get after it. They're super talented. Yeah, so it was a lot of fun to play, and because I was in Colorado at the Air Force Academy when I played, I was on our club team. We would play against the U.S. men's team.
Oh,
and
in the training center, Colorado,
yeah,
Springs.
down the street, and I mean, you know, those guys were just big and good and this fast and quick. So it was a lot of fun to play against them, and then to watch, you know, the Olympics. I really enjoyed that. Just to be able to go on Peacock and like pull up anything you want is terrific. I mean, you know,
time difference helps because at 3 a.m. it's live. So for the insomniacs, it's great. For the early risers, it's great. And then in this day and age of not having to put the VCR tape in there, hit record. Or DVR is great, but you can go back and watch anything at any time you want, as long as you know where to find it. So that always helps as well. How are the women doing? They are starting to pull away a little bit. A
little bit.
They were trailing in the first quarter for a majority of the game. They're playing Belgium. It's group play. It's game 2, I believe, of group play, correct? Thursday?
I think you're right. Yeah, the Belgian women look really strong. They look athletic. But they're not going to be, you know, I mean, let's face it.
No.
Our women's team is phenomenal. And
they've won 55 in a row in the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean.
Five straight gold medals.
Yeah.
They haven't lost.
No, I mean, when they decide, you know, when it gets to crunch time, they're gonna make it happen. So I think coach is playing around with some lineups, resting some folks, making sure it's a long few weeks, so she wants to make sure she gets everybody to the finish line and gets them to that gold medal game healthy. And then back to the WNBA.
Yeah, they have a month off. So if you're wondering what Caitlin Clark and those who did not make the team are doing, well, Caitlin was on stage at a country show the other night I saw. Well, what are you going to do? She's been golfing. She's been on the beach. You get some time off in the middle of the season, which is interesting because Caitlin Clark hasn't had any time off.
No, I think about, like, I mean, it's really amazing. When you think about the college season and then going through the NCAA tournament all the way to the title game and literally like the next week rolling into
4 days
the draft and then rolling into preseason camp and then rolling into games, and she's starting and she's playing a lot of minutes. I mean, this is well deserved.
It is. I don't know if it's the best business model, but I'll leave that up to the experts. I get that you want to take a break so your star players can go. It wouldn't be fair to the other teams who would lose their star players. Okay, I can see that. No problem at all. But yes, the WNBA is going Caitlin Clark storyless for 3 weeks or so. They're back in action on the 16th, and that's a while from that's 2 weeks from
it
tomorrow.
Is. But the other thing I'm following. I mean. Simone Biles. I mean, I give her a shout out. You know, I mean, that is just what an incredible story. And I think her, you know, just the athleticism, she just makes it look so easy. We were talking earlier.
Ridiculous.
You watch it and it's just so effortless and just so casual. And we were talking about how, you know, thank God there's the announcers there who can like kind of tell us like, hey, she's 12 feet in the air, you know? And so that's,
is that legal? Can you do that?
That's just so impressive.
And the great story too, after her physiological problems in Japan, figuring it out now, she's been really open with her, emotional things that go along with it. Yeah, I had therapy before we went out this morning, and it was great. Yeah. I'm in a good place. It's okay.
I think it's the more we talk about it, the more people who need help will get help, and that's really, I think, her message that is just all around. It's just such a terrific message. And then
it is,
you know, and I will.
Now we're all not going to jump and perform like her, but
no, I mean, you know, but and now, you know, and I'm going to give the Bears a shout out. You know, I appreciate them letting her husband join up. So, you know, I do think that's pretty cool. This is a, you know,
don't
probably
you
the
and
last
Omar
time
and everybody know the team doctor for the Bears?
We do, we do, yeah, we do.
See,
we
like
do.
I sneak that in there. That's
yeah. But you know, I just, I, you know, this, these are moments. Come around once every 4 years. They're not guaranteed.
No.
And for them to say, hey, look, let's put that ahead of this. It's, you know, they're playing in the Hall of Fame game tonight. And they
kicking
put,
off the NFL,
you know, and
calendar.
They put that ahead of that, their franchise interest, I think, is commendable as well. So I think that's, you know, all around is pretty cool.
And
pretty
that'll
cool
be story. Part of the story tonight. We tell the Chicago Bears and Houston Texans, 8 o'clock from Canton, the Hall of Fame game.
And she's from Houston, so, you know.
Oh, even better. Even better. She'll be glued to the TV at 2 a.m. 3. No, she won't. She'll be asleep. She's won the individual gold medal around as well, along with the team championship. So the Golden Girls continue to be gold. Now, this one is, again, says it right there, individual. That's on you. And that's what makes that medal very prestigious. Team competitions are great. We saw the golf this morning. It says men's individual stroke play, which is misleading. That sounds like there's a team event going to take place. And so there's not. That's how golf works. You're alone in the arena. And she was alone today. And we heard in the updates that she
and Sunisa Lee got the bronze.
No, did she?
With
great.
Her,
good for her.
You know, after, I mean, think about it. She didn't start competing until January because of kidney disease. I mean,
that's amazing.
Like, what? I mean, it just tells you the kind of resilience. Yeah, it makes you really proud, right? I mean, we get to hear the national anthem. And
The coverage of the Olympics is through the roof.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Through the roof. Business production is down. And, well, that's why we're doing the summer, right? When everything nothing's going on at Ivy Tech, right? August 19th, what are we going to do? We've talked about all the great technological advances and all the partnerships as well, but the life sciences building and the School of Nursing, those are some of the foundational pieces of Ivy Tech.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as we get closer and closer, don't wait. People are talking about nursing for 25 spring
already.
Yes.
Yeah.
So don't put that off if that's something, if that's a career you want to get involved with. The demand is so
now.
High.
Call us now.
You got to go now.
The applications will close in October. They'll open here pretty soon in a couple of weeks. Applications will open for our spring start. They'll close in October. And then in the spring, they close in March. And, you know, it's unfortunate because we always get people in May, June, or like, hey, I'm looking to go to nursing school in August. And well, you had to apply in March. And so really, really want to foot stomp some of those deadlines, depending on what program you're interested in. Get out to see us early. Get in touch with us.
It's a traditional education at an untraditional timing.
Correct. Yeah. So, but if you think about like when you apply to IU, you applied in November to go in August.
Same thing.
Right. And you accepted in May and you went in August. I mean, it's pretty similar.
So you have to think of it that way for just for these elite programs, right?
Really our nursing program is our most competitive. Everything else is pretty much open enrollment. Our ASAP program, which we'll talk about here in a minute, is also competitive. And so it's a competitive accelerated program where we, you know, you have to meet certain criteria and have an interview and get in. But nursing really is, and for a variety of reasons.
Well, healthcare is a tremendous industry.
We need you to get in there and get enrolled early.
How are you going to expand this? I know that has to be on. You don't have to tell me you don't have to open up the briefcase and show me all the plans moving forward. But if there is a waiting list and there is demand in the community, absolutely, that just makes natural sense that you're going to have to do it in the future.
So I told you yesterday I was at a workforce development conference. They showed us a slide. Number one job is nursing. That we need in the state. And then like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we're all healthcare related, right? So there's no doubt we have a number of those programs on campus, not just nursing. I mean, we've got, you know, radiation therapy.
I just like saying phlebotomy.
We've got certified medical assistants and all those other programs we have that can really get folks into that healthcare industry. And I'm real excited next fall. So we've been looking, how can we expand nursing? And it is just not as simple as building more classrooms. It is an entire community endeavor because to get licensed as a nurse, you have to meet certain prerequisites. academics, our program is one piece of that. And there's also a clinical component. So you need to get into the hospital or one of our senior living facilities or one of many of our partners in our 8-county region. And you get in there and you spend time there and you get checked off and you can show that, yeah, I can do this. I can do this skill, and you get checked off, and it takes that. So a lot of times our funnel, if you will, gets stopped up at that, how many clinical opportunities are there in any gotcha. Particular region. And so what we did this fall is we took a really hard look at where are those opportunities, and we're really maximizing it. I mean, we have grown the program in the last 5 years considerably, almost doubled since in the last 5 years. And so now, you know, my challenge to our Dean of Nursing, Kim Roach, and she took it on and ran with it, is to where can we grow more? And really the only place to grow is, if you will, up. And so we are going to move up in on the calendar and your day planner, and looking at an evening program that we're going to start in the fall of 25. And so real excited on that. We're just now getting the program put together, in the process of hiring an assistant chair to run that evening program. But that'll be, at least initially, it'll be a transition program for LPNs, military medics, EMTs, paramedics, to spend 1 year with us and transition from that LPN, that status they currently have, that license they currently have, into an RN. And so it'll be an evening program to help, because a lot of those folks in particular have jobs. They're working all day long, right?
Sure.
And we'll work really closely with employers to try and get their schedules aligned so that they can do that program at night. And then they'll have their clinicals on the weekends instead of, because it just, there's no other time to do it. And some of the programs aren't offered in the evenings. So there'll be some in the evenings, but most on the weekends. And so really, really excited about.
Yes, because you haven't created the eighth day of the week yet.
Right.
You're good, but you're not that good.
And so, you know, it's just what is our community clamoring for, right? Healthcare workers, how can we help? So trying this pilot program, we will be the first in the state to try this.
Very cool.
Nobody else is doing it. We're going to do it. We are real excited about it. It's a little bit of a stretch. There's obviously, anytime you are piloting something and you're the first to do it, there's a little bit of risk. But I feel like we get the right people in that program, especially with folks who already have experience. They'll have that resilience to handle any sort of this didn't quite go like we thought it was going to go. And they'll have that sort of, you know, built-in resilience to flex. And so really, really proud of the team and what they've come up with. And as we move forward to plan this out, it's going to be, I'm pretty excited
about
it.
That is exciting.
And they are going to get to use our brand new skills lab that we leverage. IU Health provided a grant a couple years ago, and we had some funding in that grant, and we're able to really look at our space at our college and where can we maximize the dollars we had available to us, and found a space in our main building to expand our nursing skills lab. So currently our skills lab is down in that Marshan building that you talked about right there on the left when you first come into campus. They had 8 spaces there. So we oftentimes, because the program has grown so much, we oftentimes had 4 to 6 nurses crowded around a bed trying to kind of do the skills on the dummy patient that's laying there, right? And now we have 15, we've expanded to 15 beds, plus we have 3 additional beds in another room for those that need, you know, any sort of accommodation or need extra help. And so, you know, we've gone from 8 to 18. It is bright,
tangible growth.
Bright, and it's open, and
that's why everybody wants to get in.
Our students came out the other day to check it out, and like seeing the excitement, you know, it was really fun to see. And we've added classrooms that are dedicated to nursing now, and so really trying to change that entire experience around that program, bring them more onto the main campus, really kind of bring that activity up. And real huge kudos to Kim Roach, Dean Kim Roach, and her team over there for all the work they've done. We had the State Board of Nursing came out. It's not official. Their board meets on August 19th, but we had a very successful visit.
That's good.
To give us the thumbs up. So
white glove, all that good stuff.
So really thankful for how that turned out. And our friends at Building Associates did the work over there and really just knocked it out of the park. Looks great. Excited for that. We'll have a grand opening. I'll invite you to our grand opening.
Oh, good.
We're
going
to have a grand
opening. We've got to cut a ribbon, don't we? Get those big scissors.
We're going to do it after the students have had a chance to use it for a couple weeks.
So
we can get some, really have a sort of before and after story to tell. And excited. So I'm really thrilled to see that. That has been, you know, my May 1st, I met first meeting was with the staff, and then second meeting was with nursing. And I was like, we got to get after this. How can we move the needle on this?
That's
and,
a pretty quick and, needle move there,
and,
buddy.
You know, I will say Dean Roach, really, Kim, really, like, you know, she kind of gave me that look and then was like, all right, let's figure this out. And she got after it. And so real excited. The whole team really did a great job. So this is something I'm particularly proud of, how we were able really in 1 year to move the needle on something that's
incredible.
That really was, it did not look like it was going to go anywhere. And so really, really excited about that. And then news just came in.
Breaking news.
We had summer camps this year. We talk about it every year. We talk about how important it is to sign up early. We had 500 kids in summer camps this year. And I
there
love.
There you go, folks. We try to tell you.
I love.
For those of you who didn't get in,
I
try to tell you.
I visit with, I try and get around and visit with all of them, the art camps, the baking camps, the food camps, I said art. So art, they
all
were doing pottery. They were doing all sorts of good stuff. And they had an art show every, you know, Friday art show. So it was awesome.
And the stories that continue to evolve at Ivy Tech. I told you this hour would fly by. You thought I was crazy. Nope. Here we go. Chancellor Coyne. You have to come back next week and tell me all about ASAP. And yep. We'll get together on the cohorts and why that's important. Tuesdays at the Tech are happening. Everything's happening. How do we get more information? Simple.
Give us a call, 812-330-6013, or email us at bl-info@ivytech.edu.
Thursdays with Chancellor Coyne, live in the studio. We have to do
Thanks,
this
class.
More than once a year, buddy. This
yeah,
is so much
this is fun.
Fun.
Thanks,
come back and see us. Awesome job, as always.